Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. What a good day to be living for God. Amen. What a good day to be in church. Our heart's full. You know, there's probably more effective ways to hand out Mother's Day gifts, but there's probably not any more delightful than what we just witnessed a few moments ago. Amen. It does my heart good to see kids running around church. In fact, I wouldn't go to a church where the kids all had to sit still, just the way I am. It's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. It's a good day. Mother's Day. Amen. Mother's Day. I understand Mother's Day. Father's Day is kind of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we really needed to do Mother's Day and we felt bad, so we did Father's Day. But Mother's Day is a special day. John's second epistle, he addressed it to the elect lady and her children, which is the church. And Galatians typifies that the church is the mother of us all. And I'm glad for the church today, aren't you? Amen. Thankful for a godly mother and a godly mother-in-law. There's not a lot of people can say they love their mother-in-law, but I love my mother-in-law just like my mother. Amen. You can pick. You don't get to pick your mother, but you can pick your mother-in-law. Amen. And it's good to be this wonderful day. In fact, as soon as I'm done preaching, and it's already 10 after 11, I'm going to try to preach quickly, not for my sake, for your sake, but just a good day. Amen. If you hadn't talked to your mom in a while, you need to call her. Tell her you love her. Even if you have to scrape up the courage to do it. But I'm glad for a good day today. My heart's full. My spirit's full. And let's see what God will talk to us about. How about it? Amen. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. It is entirely coincidental that my text last Sunday morning was Luke 16. Today it's Luke 17. Preachers don't just go through the Bible next. You know, it's kind of where God has got us this morning. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. There's a lot of stuff in here, a lot of things we could preach about. I want to preach about one out of many. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came, destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they drank, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff, everybody say my stuff, his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32 is where I want to take what I'm going to preach today. Jesus simply says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Amen. It's very, in fact, it is, I believe, the only time that Lot is mentioned aside from his account or the narrative of his story in Genesis. Jesus is talking about the coming judgment, the coming day of God. And he uses a word that many of us have used, and he says, if one is on the housetop and his stuff is in the house, let him not go down to get it. And then he just slides this little message in. Remember Lot's wife, he said. Remember Lot. Lot's wife. That's what I want to preach this morning. Remember Lot's wife. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us this morning. Father, we trust you. We lean upon your word today. We lean upon your anointing that you're going to help us. God, if you don't help us, we're just going to talk a little while and go home. But if you help us today, our hearts can be changed. Our minds can be changed. The word of God can convict our spirits and our souls. God, we ask you to help us in this place this morning. Would you clap your hands for just a moment before you're seated? Thank him for his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The story in Genesis chapter 16 or 14 is where it begins. Then it ends in 19. The story of Lot and Abraham. He is the nephew of Abraham. I don't know about you, but you know, if you're going to stand before God, many people try to do this. We call it name dropping. If you're going to stand before God and say, Abraham is my uncle, that's a pretty good thing to be able to say. Amen. Abraham is my uncle. In fact, there's not many people that could say that. Abraham is my uncle. And it was the connection between Abraham and Lot, his nephew. It is unique in the Bible that it does not give us many details about this transaction between Abram and Lot when they left Ur of the Chaldees, when God called Abram out. And the Bible does not really explore it very deeply, that when Abram left, Lot went with him. We can find many things to implicate that Lot was connected to Abram financially or connected to him in some sort of servant-master role, in the fact that Abram and Lot were some sort of employment deal. And when Abram left, it was not the call of God that beckoned Lot to go with him. But it was a spirit of self-preservation. I'm going to go with my Uncle Abraham because, amen, he's the one paying my car payment, amen. And so he goes with his uncle. And it is not the call of God that beckons him. It is not that starry-eyed glance that I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. But it was simply in the fact that he was following Abraham. Because of Abraham's goodness to him. And so they go out on the journey. And it is paradoxical, if you'll look at it, that Abraham is following God. Abraham is following the call of God. Abraham is following being convicted, the Bible says, of things not seen. And he's going after a call, a city that he is persuaded of, but has never touched. In fact, the Bible said he died not having seen the promise. And he is following God, and he is following the call of God, but Lot is following Abraham. And I would tell you here today that unless you are in this for the call of God, unless when you come to church somewhere in your life, you get to the point that I'm not going to church here because it's fun, and I'm not going to church here because I feel good, and I'm not going to church here because of the things offered to my children, but I'm going to church here because somewhere in the midst of this, I got in touch with God, and I've been called by God, and I've been touched by God, and I've been influenced by his spirit, and there's something he showed me that I haven't seen all of for my life, and I want it. I want the fulfillment of God's promises for me. I want the fulfillment of God's blessings for me. I'm going to follow him. I'm not following Abraham. I'm following God. I want to get my own relationship with him today. Because invariably, when one is following God and the other is following him, there will be strife between the two. In fact, the Bible says that there became strife between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. They started rubbing each other the wrong way. And when you're in it for the wrong motives, when you're in it for selfish reasons, people that are in it for the eternal purpose rub you the wrong way. Things just start getting you upset. Strife between life with purpose and a selfish life kind of gets in the way of a relationship, you know. It's kind of like, this is a poor illustration, but every time my wife and I would date, we dated forever, it feels like. We started dating when we were 16, got married finally when we were 20. I was 22 and she was 20. And every time we broke up, the many, many times we did, she always blamed it on God. I didn't ever hear that from God. It was always her idea. But anytime one of your selfishness, your self-preservation, it kind of rubs you the wrong way, you know. And if one's following the will of God and the other one's just kind of going along for all the good benefits, hey, man, you start to get strife. And the Bible said Abraham and Lot, they're supposed to be on the same journey. They're supposed to be on the same pursuit of God's call. Abraham has left everything. Thing. He's looking for a city. He's following the call of God. He becomes a nomad for the purpose of God because he's convinced that God's going to give it to him. Abraham's following the goodness of God because Abraham's showing it to him. And he's following the blessings of Abraham. And he's going with Abraham everywhere he goes. Oh yeah, Abraham's my uncle. In fact, when he gets in trouble after he settles down in Sodom, he says, Abraham's my uncle. And Abraham comes and delivers him out of trouble. And so, but the Bible said there became strife between them. And Abraham said, we're going to have to separate because I'm going after God and I don't really know what you're doing. And so I'll give you the choice. You take the plains or the mountains. It's up to you. The Bible said Lot chose the plains. And the Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He started looking towards Sodom. He didn't go to Sodom the first day. He didn't go to Sodom maybe the first week. But he opened his house looking towards Sodom. I want to tell you something, that whatever you walk out of the doorhouse of your house, the doorway of your house every day, and your eyes see, amen, that's what your heart's going to have. That's what your spirit's going to have. That's what your pursuit is going to be. And the Bible said that every day he would come out of his tent, he was looking towards Sodom. Amen. Abraham said, I'm going to the mountains. It's not as easy. It's not as nice. But when I come out of my tent, I'm going to look to the stars. I'm going to look to the heavens. I'm going to look to the call of God because I want to call after what God is doing. So Lot, along the way, goes to Sodom. He becomes influential in Sodom. In fact, the Bible says that he was sitting in the gate at Sodom. He's on the county commission, if you will. The water board, whatever, I guess in Jefferson County, not anymore, used to be the sewer board. That's who you, the most important. That's tongue in cheek, amen. But anyway, he becomes political and powerful and influential to the point that everyone in the city knows who he is and where he lives. And he's sitting in Sodom. We don't really know how long he's there. He's there long enough that two of his daughters marry sons-in-laws. And we know that he has sons-in-laws and he has unmarried daughters that have never known a man. And the Bible says that the city he is living in is the most wicked city in the history of the world. In fact, you don't even have to be a church member to know that Sodom and Gomorrah was a bad place. In fact, it just sounds bad. Well, that's as far as we'll go. It was a place that had wholly given itself to wickedness. It was a place that had wholly given itself to the pursuit of immoral
pleasure. And I want to tell you that the United States of America is not the first country that's going to wholly give itself over to homosexuality. In fact, in the good old South, Arkansas yesterday issued its first same-sex marriage license. Hey, man, I'm telling you, we're not far behind in Alabama. I want to tell you, we're not the first country, the first city, the first nation that's become ingrained and totally given over to that. Hey, man, because Sodom and Gomorrah had completely given itself over to immorality and to homosexuality and to the pursuit of illicit pleasure. And the Bible said their debauchery was so wicked that it came up before God. And he said, even though there was a promise that he wouldn't destroy man to Noah, even though there was a covenant that he wouldn't destroy the world again, he said, I'm telling you, I can't stand Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm about to destroy them with fire. I'm about to rain brimstone down in that city. And he goes to a meeting with Abraham, and he's sitting there talking with Abraham, and this destruction, the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah is in his mind, and he's sitting there talking with Abraham, and the Bible says that God looks to himself and says, I cannot hide this from Abraham because I know him. And I know that he will command his children and his house. Whoo. Wouldn't that be a good testimony of you? I wonder, could God trust you with blessing by saying this? I can bless so-and-so because I know them. They're going to command their children. They're going to teach their children righteousness. This is a pretty good message to preach on Mother's Day. I wonder if God could trust you with blessing because he knows that the blessings of God won't pursue my... won't change your heart and change your pursuit, and you'll still command your children that there's only one way to live, and that's holy, all the way in love with Jesus. There's nothing else worth giving your life to. There's nothing else worth giving your energy to except what God calls you to. I know Abraham, he's going to command his children. He's going to walk his children in the right way. Children are going to do right. I know that Abraham is going to command his household, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. That's straight out of the Bible. I wonder if that's what God says about us today. I know Brother Wells, he's going to command his children in the way of the Lord. It's a pretty good testimony. I don't even have to worry about his kids. He's going to command them the way of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. When I was growing up, this is just a sidebar. This ain't what I'm preaching here this morning. But when I was growing up, the church we grew up in, Brother Sutton came there when I was just a wee little lad. It's a wonder I can even spell revival. It's a wonder I can even preach my way out of a closet with the lights on. Somebody got the door open for me. We had nothing like what we had here this morning. And many times, many, many, many times, I was the only kid in my church that was trying to do right. And but I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't my church that caused me to live right. It was my mom and dad. Because God knew my mom and dad. And God knew that they're going to command their children in the way of the Lord. I want to tell you something. There was many times we'd go months and months and months without anybody even talking in tongues in our church. Amen. But I had a mom and a daddy that when my mama, it wasn't once a week, it wasn't once a month, but every day my mom would find a place to pray. And in her house, you either prayed or went outside because God was going to listen to her and she was going to get in touch with God and things were going to start happening and conviction was going to start falling in the house because mama was praying and mama was talking to God. And there's many times in my life I went to a public school, and there's many, many nights I would wake up with my mother kneeling by my bed pleading the blood of Jesus over her son's mind. And over, I'm telling you, it works. If you command your children, if you pray for your children, it works. Hallelujah. I walked to school every day. We would wait for the bus, and I would stand and watch as my mother would stand on the porch and pray for us before we got on the school bus. Not once a week, not once a quarter, not the first day of school. Every day, my mother prayed for us. God, keep their mind. Jesus. I can't be with them, but you can walk with them. You can protect them. You can guide them. I plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for a praying mother. My mother didn't raise me to be a preacher. She raised me to be a Christian. She raised me that when God called, you answered. And when God asked, you gave. And so when God called me to be a preacher, I didn't have any struggle about this life. I didn't have to decide, do I want to go this way? That this stuff that mom and dad has allowed in my life, am I going to choose this or this? No, my parents raised me that there's no other choice. The only choice is to live for God. Live for God or die. Live for God or go to hell. Live for God or have no life worth living. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody today. I want to command my children in the way of the Lord. So Abraham, God says, I'm going to tell him what I can do. He said, I'm about to destroy Sodom. We don't have time to preach it all. Abraham says, well, 50 righteous, will you save the city? God says, yeah, I'll save the city. He gets nervous, 40, 30, 10, whatever. And I've often found it. Maybe Abraham was a little hesitant. But I wonder if Abraham had to just ask God to spare the city, would he have spared it? Not for 10 righteous sake. I wonder if Abraham would have just said, for my sake, would you save the city? God would have saved it. Abraham stopped at 10 because he thought that Lot was like him. Lot's going to command his children. Lot's been around me long enough to know. Like Joshua, we answer for the whole house as far as me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. Hey, if you raise your kids with a choice, they'll make the choice. We didn't ever have a choice when I was growing up. I didn't even know there was a possibility of backsliding. First of all, I was afraid my dad would whip me. Second of all, I was afraid I'd go to hell. That's bad, isn't it? You're more afraid of your dad than you are of hell. Worked though. Worked. So Abraham says, I got God. Surely Lot, he's got 10 righteous in the city. He's got 4 daughters, 2 son-in-laws, maybe they got grandkids. Surely his wife. Yeah, 10 righteous. God said, yeah, for 10 righteous, I'll spare the city. So 2 angels go to Sodom. When they get there, Lot's in the gate of the city. I don't know what they're talking about. I kind of get the feeling when I go to San Francisco of what Sodom and Gomorrah must have felt like. I was in San Francisco a few months ago with a preacher friend of mine. He's driving me around. We was looking, and I prayed this prayer and meant it. God, let me get out of here before you judge this city. I don't want you to judge this city and think that because I was down here, I was one of them. Kind of what Sodom and Gomorrah must have felt like. I mean, when you walk in the city, when there's parts of San Francisco, and I'm not blasting anything here this morning, but when you go to San Francisco, they let you know where you're at. There's flags flying and tell you everywhere, you know, this is where it's acceptable to live this way. And so Sodom and Gomorrah must have had that feel to it because it was so out in the open. And Lot was sitting in the gate of the city with all the elders and they're having a big time. And here come 2 angels. And Lot stands up and says, hey, why don't you guys come to my house and I'll feed you and you can wash your feet and spend the night and then you can go your way. And so the angels say, buddy, we ain't staying in your house. I hope God never says that about my house. I ain't staying in your house tonight. Finally, he convinces them to stay in the house. And he's sitting there talking with the angels and they're getting ready to go to bed. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. This is Bible. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it here this morning. And the knock at the door, the Bible said, all the men of the city, out of every quarter, young and old, come to the door of Lot's house. And they knock on the door and they say, hey, we saw two good-looking guys go in your house. We want them. We want to know them. And I'll leave that there. Bring them out so we can have them. Lot goes outside, shuts the door behind him, the Bible says, and he says, hey, man, these guys are angels. You can't be messing with angels. Listen to his logic. You guys, and he says, this is how messed up he was in his mind. He says, I've got two daughters who have never known a man. You can have them. And they said, we don't want them. We want those guys we saw. It's unbelievable. The Bible says that they pressed on him. They were about to tear the door down. And the Bible said the angel opened the door, reached and grabbed Lot, pulled him inside, shut the door, and struck the men with blindness. And the Bible says the entire night they wearied themselves trying to find the door. How messed up of a city was Lot living in? How messed up that moment must have been? How messed up was Lot that he would have gladly traded his daughters for peace? The angel turns around to Lot. He says, let me tell you something, Buster. We, not God, we are about to destroy this city. Me and this dude. You think Hollywood's got tough guys. God's got real tough guys. Two of them shows up and says, we're fixing to destroy this whole city. We're fixing to burn it to the ground. And they say to Lot, get your sons-in-laws, get your daughters, and get out of here. I want to tell you something. The conviction that must have been in that room, the conviction that while this entire city is pressing at his door, trying to have their way with holy angels of God, should Lot somewhere have got the idea, you know, I don't need to be here. But the Bible says he goes to his son-in-laws, and here's where I want to preach for a moment. And he comes to his son-in-laws and his daughters. And he says, listen to this. He says, there's two angels at my house, and they're about to destroy this city, but they're going to spare us. Let's get out of here. And the Bible says that his son-in-laws looked at him, and they said, you sound like someone who's mocking. It had been so long since Lot had preached righteousness. It had been so long since Lot had directed his children in the right ways of God that when he preached judgment and he preached salvation, the Bible said he seemed like a crazy man to them. I want to tell you something, that if you live your life in front of your children, there's going to come a day when they're 16 and you try to set them straight that you're going to sound like a crazy person. You're going to say God's going to judge you. That ain't right. That's sin. You got to get that out of your heart, and you're going to sound like one that mocks. Because Abraham could command his children, but Lot couldn't, or Lot wouldn't. And he says to his sons-in-laws, we got to get out of here, man. God's about to destroy this city. There's two angels at my house. They got bazookas and dynamite. They're about to burn this city down. And they said, man, you got to go. You had too much pizza, man. You need to go sleep. Leave us alone, dude. Monday night football's on. Been so long since. I'm going to tell you something. You can't look like the world and tell your kids to dress holy. That doesn't work. You can't go to church when you feel like it and tell your kids to be faithful. It just don't work. Amen. But if I'm Akeo no Maakaya, I want to be like Abraham. God, you can trust me with children. You can trust me with blessing, because I'm going to command my kids. I'm going to command my house to keep the way of the Lord, to keep the righteousness of God. This way is the only way. Lot comes back home. And he says, my sons-in-laws ain't coming. My daughters ain't coming. And when the morning arose, the Bible says the angels hurried Lot. Angels. Not preachers. Angels. They said, hurry up, Lot. Get your kids. Get your wife. Get the two daughters that are here and leave, lest thou be consumed with the iniquity of this city. Watch this. Verse 16 of chapter 19, book of Genesis. And while he lingered, angels said, Brother Sutton, we're about to light the match, buddy. Get out of here. The Bible says he lingered. And this is how forcible. It wasn't Lot's goodness that saved himself. It was Abraham's prayer. The Bible says the angel grabbed him by the hand, the Lord being merciful unto him, and said, my God, get out of here. Drug him out of the house. Maybe even kicked him in the rear end. Said, dude, you got to get. That's what the Bible says. The Lord was merciful unto Lot. The angel said, we're about to destroy this city. We got the bomb in our hand. This is the detonator. Get out of here, Lot. And the Bible said, Lot lingered. Because there was stuff in that city. Stuff that Lot loved. Stuff, Jesus said. Stuff. The word stuff translates just trappings. Stuff. Whatever it is to you, there was stuff in the city that Lot loved. And while an angel was pulling on his arm, saying, dude, you gotta hurry, he lingered. Finally, the angel forcibly pushes him out of town. And he says, run to the mountains and don't look back. Lot says, hey, there's a little city over here called Zoar. It's a little place. It ain't no big deal. It's only 20% wicked. It's still in the Bible Belt. Let me go over there. The angel said, you better run to where Abraham's at. You better run to the mountains. You better go reconnect yourself with Abraham. You better go find Abraham's God and get out of this city. You better go and don't look back. The Bible said they went running out of town. But Lot's wife. As musicians come, I'm getting ready to quit. Turned around, Brother Sutton. Because there was stuff in that city that still had her heart. Stuff. And the Bible said she turned into a pillar of salt. And there remained until that day. And Jesus flips to Luke 17. And he's preaching. And I got just a few minutes to preach this out. He says, it was in the days of Noah. He says, they were marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking. None of that stuff's sinful. Anybody here married? Raise your hand. Just part of life. You get married. When you have daughters that grow up, they get married. Just part of it. Eating and drinking. Anybody eat anything this morning? I don't eat on Sunday mornings. That way I don't preach long. A fool preacher bore you out of your mind. That's why those green rooms and conferences, that's a bad idea, because preachers would eat before they preach. preach all night. Just give them a bottle of water and a cert and say, all right. We ate this morning. Anybody drink any water or coffee this morning? It's just part of life. And the implication that Jesus was trying to get, they were just living life. They woke up and it was just any old day. But that was the day that Noah went in the ark. And everybody was destroyed. He said it wasn't a day when the horn sounded and everybody lined up and we picked and chose. He said it was just a day when you got up and made breakfast and all of a sudden the rain started coming. He said that's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. You're just going to be living life, walking down the road, eating, going to work, and God's going to come back. And he said, you better make sure you're ready. Then he says, as the same it was in the days of Lot. They bought, he said. They sold. Anybody bought anything this week? Anybody sold anything this week? He said, they planted. Anybody planted anything in your garden this week? Just living life. They build it. They're just living life. Sitting there building houses. They're building businesses. They're building homes. They're just going through life. Jesus said it was just a day. They're buying, they're selling, they're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying and getting married. He said because they woke up and they were more connected to life than they were looking for my appearing. And he said, in that day, he that's on the housetop and his stuff in the house, he said, you better make sure that if the trumpet were to sound right now, Brother Sutton, there's not something I got to run home and say bye to. Jesus just simply said, stuff. Sum it up however you want to sum it up. But I wonder if we could do an inventory of our hearts this morning. As Lot, what's the first thing we see when we open our door on Sunday morning? On Monday morning, what are we looking towards? What are we building towards? You know, you sit. Jesus, help us today. You sit with people that I'm almost turning into a curmudgeon. I don't like to go places with people that don't think like I think. You sit around a table. They talk about all the things that they've given their lives to. Oh, my son, he's batting 7,000. I know baseball. He's batting 355. Oh, I see him on Instagram. Oh, he stole a base last night. Who gives a flip? I'm not preaching against. It's just like we get so consumed with life. Maybe I'm just weird, but my parents raised me. Son, there's only one way to do anything. And that's all the way. And so the reason you can't do these things is because the only way to do anything is all the way. And we teach our kids that you can give a little bit of yourself over here, and you can give a little bit of self over here. We do it in our own life. You can give a little bit of yourself to your job, and a little bit of self to your career, and a little bit of self to, and church just kind of gets, we go to New Life. Brother Sutton's our pastor. But it's been so long since you've been to church, we don't even know if you're still coming. Just let's just think about this. What if life, and I know we all got to live life. I know I'm preaching too narrow here this morning. But what if God comes back on a Wednesday night and you had to work overtime to afford your third car? Or your ski boat. And God comes back on a Sunday, a Wednesday night, and you're, I gotta get my stuff taken care of, God. Just preaching here this morning. That's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. All she did was glance back. I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. So without anything I'm doing, any place I am, if God were to speak to me, I could just turn it loose and go straight up. Because I got a lot of stuff. I got enough fishing tackle to start a sporting goods store. I have 4 deer heads mounted, and I don't even own a wall. Is that crazy? Stuff. I have 14 long guns, and they're in my father-in-law's closet because I don't even have a place to put them. Stuff. We worry about our stuff. I'm not just talking about hunting and fishing. I'm talking about whatever it is that you, in your life. Just Jesus summed it up. It may be your most treasured part of your life. Jesus said, it's just stuff. Stuff. You better be able, he said, that fast if you're on the housetop. I'm afraid too often, and I'm preaching to everyone here this morning, and I know I've kind of, whatever. It's a good day. But I wonder if sometimes we get so wrapped up in this life. Good things of life. There's nothing wrong with getting married. There's nothing wrong with planting and building and buying and selling. It's just part of life. I wonder if we get so consumed with this world and this stuff that while an angel's got us by our hand, Brother Sutton, trying to lead us to our future, we linger. We get so connected to things and places that God can't even get us to where he wants us to be by sending an angel to drag us out of there. We linger. We look back. Stuff. Stand with me this morning. I don't know about you, but my greatest fear, thing that I pray more about than I pray for anything, is that my kids will love God. My kids will serve God. And I know we don't want our kids to be stunted. We don't want our kids to be backward. But who cares if your kids are effective? in this world if they lose out with God. Who cares how good I am in this world if I lose out with God? Stuff. We live in a constant accumulation of things. We own houses, and those aren't big enough, so we rent storage units. Because we got so much stuff. God's beckoning us to our future. He's even sending angels to lead us there, Brother Sutton. And we're so entangled, wrapped up in stuff, that the angels get frustrated with us. Come on. I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day when everything we're doing is going to melt. The only thing that's going to count is what you did for God. And where a man's treasure is, there shall his heart be also. Where's your treasure at today? Is it in your house? Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. I know this is kind of sobering on a Mother's Day, but I didn't really intend to go this way. But sometimes. I think we ought to just come to the altar. Say, God, work on me today. Help me to entangle and untangle my mind from all the stuff. Help me to get my spirit unwrapped from the pursuit of everything that I'm seeing. And let your heartbeat be my heartbeat, God. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Come on, I think we ought to pray for a few moments. Oh, yes, Jesus. Come on, would you kneel and pray for a few minutes? God, empty us out today. Empty our hearts out today. Hallelujah. We would like for you to come. If you're here today, you're a visitor. You never had the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost this morning. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. You ought to be baptized in the name of Jesus today. Come on, in the days when the Son of Man cometh, so shall it be as it was in the days of Lot. They're just going to be living life. And one day God's judgment's going to rain down. Come on, let's be those that escape. Let's be those that escape that day. Oh, empty me, Jesus. Come on, would you earnestly pray this morning? God, search our hearts today. Search our minds today. Search our lives today. God, teach us. Teach us the right ways. Help us to command our children the ways of the Lord today. Help us to command our children to keep the right ways of God today. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Fill me with your goodness.
Fill me with your goodness.
A love that has no limits.
Oh, come on, let's seek him today. Let's seek him today. Let's seek him today. Let's seek him today.
I long to be just like you.
Come on, with your hands lifted, your heart open. God, I want you. I want you. I want you to be the Lord of everything in my life. Be the Lord of all in my life. Teach me to command my children. Teach me to command my house to keep the way of the Lord.
Fill me with your goodness.
Fill me.
A love that has no limits. Fill me with your spirit. Oh yeah. I long to be just like you, Lord.
Come on, mama. Come on, mama. You might be raising a Timothy. Command him to keep the way of the Lord. When I see the unfeigned faith that was in your grandmother first and your mother, I see it in you today. Help us to not entangle our lives in stuff. Help us to not entangle our children in stuff. Yes, yes. Give your whole life to him. Give your whole life to Jesus. That's the only life worth living.
Fill me with your power.
Fill me with your power. Fill me with
your presence. Lord, I long to be like you.
Fill me, Lord, with your goodness.
Fill me with your goodness.
A love that has no limits.
Spirit, Lord.